Hi, welcome back to another edition of the Mindset Entrepreneur Video Podcast. I am your host, Mark Altman, and I'm here today with Kareem Hill, the President and CEO of the New England Business Association. Kareem, great to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So, Kareem, I got to ask you, I know you grew up in Texas, and my father and brother actually live in right outside Frisco, and I know from visiting them, everything is bigger in Texas. Do you, now that you're living here on the East Coast, do you see the difference? And boy, people are so much nicer in the South than they are here.
Yeah, I think what it is, Mark, to be quite honest with you, it's just a way of life. It's the way of being, right? I think because everything is so spread out, you don't feel crammed and dense and so fast-paced. So just human interactions are totally different in the South. So yes, I'm a Southern boy, and I do miss some of those Southern values. I do.
But don't you think, Kareem, like you can have your cake and eat it too? You can be, you know, passionate and driven and motivated, but you can still be friendly. Like, we're still trying to figure that out here on the East Coast,
yeah,
I think,
yeah.
Right?
I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen.
You had to break that news.
I did. I'll tell you a funny thing. So I've lived all over the country. So I'm a Texas guy, lived in Ohio, lived in Wisconsin, Chicago, did a stint in Florida, San Francisco Bay Area, Manhattan, and then up here. So I've seen all sides of it. The best part about New England is this. The work ethic is bar none the best in the country. I mean, the idea and the thought of success and getting through your day in New England is by far the best in the country. Now, on the flip side of that, the actual warm and fuzzy feeling isn't really there.
Yeah. It's such a shame. So, and you know, what I love learning about you is you had aspirations to be a professional football player, correct?
I did. Every good Texas boy does.
I've seen Friday Night Lights. I know all about that. And then, you know, but then you had to make some decisions. You had an unfortunate knee injury that kind of curbed that. And then I know one thing I love learning about you is you have a great relationship with your dad. And talk about that growing up with him and from an entrepreneurial side and just some of the things you learned from him.
Yeah, I'll do that. So I'll touch on the football side of it first. So, you know, I'm blessed. My father ran track in college. My uncle played for the Philadelphia Eagles back in the 70s. So my brother played basketball in college. So I come from an athletic family, 100%. So growing up, athletics, learning through athletics and learning through sports, how to compete, how to play on teams, how to collaborate. That was all a big part of my upbringing. So my father, both of them, both my parents, my mother and my father, were entrepreneurial at heart, right? They had day jobs, but they always dreamed about how can we go out there and start our own thing? How can we go out and make a life for our kids? I'm one of five. How could they make a different life for us and to make our lives better than their life? So my dad and I mean, I did not work jobs growing up. I never had a job at a Stop and Shop or a local grocery store. My job was to play football and to go with my father on sales pitches and sales calls and watch him interact with clients and potential clients and just anyone, right? Because what you learn is an interaction today turns into a client tomorrow. And that's what my dad taught me by just being in his presence and watching him interact with people.
Well, I think it's even bigger than that, Kareem. I mean, I think if you look at the things you've done, you know, you talked about competing and collaborating in sports, but what you really learned between your dad and sports is people.
That's
and
right.
How to build relationships, and that is what life's all about. So you had two crash courses at a young age.
I did.
But what better experiences than those, right?
Yeah. I often tell people the best thing that ever happened to me from a career standpoint was before my career. So playing college football, what you learn is how to compete, how to work hard, work ethic every day, the time you have to put in, the preparation, the energy. So I learned all that. But what really the best thing that happened was my knee injury. Because what my knee injury made me do was adjust, right? And just become a person that says, hey, let's break it down, figure out what Kareem does really well, and figure out what the next phase of Kareem's life is going to be. And then the second thing what it did for me, I stayed on with the athletic department as a assistant coach. I was still on scholarship, so they didn't have to pay me anything. But I stayed on and onboarded all the new running backs that came in.
Wow.
What that taught me is how to manage egos, how to manage differences, how to treat people with respect and treat them based on their own abilities, treat them equally, but also treat them the way they need to be treated. So individual but equal is what I learned how to do.
I know there's a lot of professional sports teams that could use your services to this day, so I think we can confirm that. So would love to, you know, I know you were in the banking industry for many years, and then you transitioned to starting your own business as an entrepreneur. What were some of the lessons that you learned from your experience in banking that really prepared you to kind of start your own business?
Yeah, so banking, I'll tell you, it's a great beginning of a career. It really is, because you learn so much. As a banker, you interface with people that are normal, blue-collar, everyday, just getting by the skin of their teeth, and you interface with people who are mass affluent and the ultra-affluent. So you learn how to connect with all those individuals. You also learn the importance of scalability, right? You got to have scale. You have to have a way to bring new clients into the tent and also retain the ones you have. And that premise right there really helped me as I transitioned on to my own company. Hmm. Now, the big differences between running your own business and running a line of business for another company is when you run your own business, when that client walks away from you, he or she is walking away from you, right? Not the brand. They're walking away from you.
Well said.
And
well said.
That was something I learned when you become your own business, when you run your own business.
Well, and banking is particularly tough because differentiating yourself from one bank to another,
that's
that
right.
is not easy.
That's exactly right. You know, I tell people, it's a commodity, right? Checking account's a commodity. Mm-hmm. Everyone has the same type of checking account. The benefits and features are all pretty much the same.
Yep.
So then how do you differentiate yourself, right? And then this is why I love the business owner, because the business owner, the differentiator is you. It's you and your staff. It's you, your staff, and your culture. That's really what differentiates business owners. So I felt like me making that transition out of banking into entrepreneurship was the right thing to do. It really fit my personality type, and it was something I'm so glad I did it.
Well, and I think, Corinne, that's one of the things that, you know, that's really attracted me to the New England Business Association, because I think your life experience as an entrepreneur working for banking is really modeling the values of caring about small businesses. And
right.
I think, you know, we talked offline about, right, you either have the really large businesses, you have the startups, and then you have everybody in between. And I feel like the New England Business Association really takes care of the ones in between. I mean, take care of all of them, but
right.
but they really focus on that. So talk about kind of your values around that, why that's important to you.
Yeah, so I think this is how I look at, especially Massachusetts, right? We're in a tech hub. We are really in a tech hub. We're really fortunate to be in Massachusetts or in New England at this stage of the game. The economies in New England are great, right? Everything is going well. But if you really examine it, you have the very large companies at the top whose needs are always met, right? Because they have so much size and scale. Then you have the startups whose needs are being met right now because the venture capital community is so powerful and so impactful here.
Yep.
So the startups and the large companies are very well addressed. That leaves 650,000 companies in the middle that aren't being addressed.
650,000
small businesses.
In New England?
In New England.
Wow.
So that's a huge portion of the economy that really no one is 100% focused on, laser focused, and saying, we are going to cater toward your needs, provide tools and resources for you to grow your business. That's really what our values are all driven by.
Well, and you know what's fascinating to me? So many small businesses, they don't want to sell, right? They want to rely on referrals and networking to really, I mean, I would say almost all of them, the majority. So, you know, it's a pretty difficult decision, right? Because you know, Kareem, you put yourself in the shoes of an entrepreneur, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, well, I don't really have a lot of time. I'm busy. I'm wearing a lot of hats. So I got to make some decisions. I know I'm supposed to network. I know I'm supposed to take advantage of resources. And then there's chambers everywhere and so on and so forth. So how do you recommend businesses go about making that decision? Do I join a chamber? Do I join the New England Business Association? Could you break down some of the differences in that decision process?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And I'll say this. The first thing I'll say is I have a lot of respect for the work that all the local chambers are doing across the Commonwealth and across the region of New England. The chambers have been a staple of our economy for a long time, and they should be. Now, the differences between the chamber and the business association are pretty distinct. One, we're not bound by geography in terms of we don't just serve a town. We don't just serve a neighborhood. We're region-wide. What that provides a business owner is this, scalability. All right, now, if you use the association correctly, your brand can be known by a company in Portland, Maine, or down in Warwick, Rhode Island, or in Hartford, Connecticut. And that's the name of the game right now, is how can you get your brand and your influence and your likeness known by as many as possible? We provide that venue where most chambers just cannot provide that to you. Not because they don't want to, they just don't have the reach to do that. So that's one of the big differentiators. The second is, networking is a function of what we do, but it's not our business model. For most chambers, networking is their business model.
It's true.
For me, the business model is providing tools, resources for companies to grow their business, save money, and give them more time. That's really what we're doing. Every company out there has three main components that they really are worried about: access to capital, affordable health care, workforce training and development. Doesn't matter if you're a nail salon, a retail shop, or a manufacturer. Those three things are impacting your day-to-day life as a business owner. We focus on those three avenues.
So when businesses come to you, building on what you just said, what are the pain centers or the areas? What are they? Because I know the association has grown so much. So yeah. What are they looking for? Are there specific things you're hearing that either they haven't been able to find at other associations or organizations where they come to you and say, geez, I hope you can do this for me.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you're hearing from them?
Yeah, the first one is, you know, how do I get in front of more potential clients?
Okay.
That's really what it is. And that's where in the past it's always been just straight networking. And I'm telling them today, networking is important, but also how can I as the association be the conduit to getting you out in front of more potential clients? And that's how we do things like we're doing webinars, we're going to start our own podcast series to really get clients, members' names across the entire region. Our Innovation Awards brings in companies from all over the region into one place so they can sit in a room, show their wares, go up there and present, be judged, and possibly win our award. So that's the first thing I hear every single day. How do I get in front of more potential clients? The second thing is, I always hear, how do I get access to capital when I have these growth opportunities? The worst position to be in is to have opportunities for new business and don't have the capital resources to actually use it and take advantage of that. So what we do, where chambers and other associations can't do, I have 10 member banks that are part of my association. And I have another 30 banks that I'm affiliated with. So if you think about it, that's a segment of 40 banks that a small business owner can call me and say, hey, Kareem, I need $500,000 loan for growth, or I need $1 million loan for growth, or it can be $100,000 loan for growth. And I put them in front of two or three financial institutions and they can choose who they want to do business with. But I'm doing when I do that, give them access to the capital they need by resources, and most importantly, saving them time, because that's not their expertise. The business owner wants to run his or her business. They don't want to take the time to go and interview 15 or 20 different potential banks to figure out which one fits for them. Let the association do that through our connections and our reach. The last thing I hear from them all the time, Kareem, how in the world do I figure out I need outsource HR, or I need digital marketing services, or I need a new website? Who do I go to? Who do I go to help me build out my business? And we provide that as well. So those are the three things I hear from businesses every single day. And that's what we aim to help businesses solve.
And so when you say you provide, as far as the third item, you provide, meaning you have partner companies you're working with?
That's correct. Okay. Yeah. So the big driver for us, Mark, is to take membership and have members help members, right? That's really it. It's not about me as an association head. It's about our membership helping our members grow.
Well, and I think, you know, one of the things that attracted me to the organization was your Innovation Awards. And I think it feels familial. Yeah. You know, it feels like, you know, internal companies in the organization are helping one another. And if I know you have something coming up, if you could share, because I think that's a tremendous thing that you guys do.
Absolutely. So it's been going on since 1986. So we've been doing the New England Innovation Awards since 1986. Staples was our first winner. No, I'm sorry, Ben & Jerry's was the first winner. Staples won in 88.
Wow.
So I can give you a list of companies that are the who's who of institutions in New England. And they range from iRobot to Keurig, Kronos, Neptune, Nectars. I mean, so many companies have won that award and come through this pipeline. But I love how you articulated it. It's members helping members, because a new company comes on board, they're nominated for this award, and they are assigned mentors. And the mentors are members of the association. And those mentors, their job is to help that business owner however he or she needs to be helped, whether it's helping them with their pitch, helping them understand a better way to position their brand, whatever it may be, right? Whatever that individual company needs, that's really what we're providing for them. It's not just go up there, if you're the best presenter, you win the award. That's what some of the awards programs turn into. That's not really what it's about. It's not, are you the flashiest product? It's not about, are you the most cutting edge innovation? No, it's about you, your individual company. How can we assist you by helping you with mentorship, with helping you understand what you need to do better? And then we gauge how innovative is that, is your product.
So if you join the New England Business Association, am I correct in saying that you have the opportunity to get assistance and support through this program?
Absolutely. So all the nominees for the Innovation Awards are nominated by members of the association.
That's great. Yeah. And then as far as, you know, again, one of my complaints, Kareem, is that a lot of the chambers, and again, like you said, the chambers are great. They are predominantly networking. So what are some other events or during the course of the year you do aside? And networking is great, but there's organic and inorganic networking too, right? And so I think that that's part of the point you were making too, that some of the networking just happens organically.
That's right.
So talk about some of the other things you do for the association besides networking, straight networking events.
Yeah, so we have once a month, we do an event inside of Massachusetts, one in Rhode Island, and we're now pushing into New Hampshire. So we're doing them in Manchester and Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And we call them breakfast series events, but really what they are is informational events. We had one yesterday in Manchester, New Hampshire, around sexual harassment. Right, it's there to inform small business owners on the pertinent topics of the day. Right. And the day before that, we were in Providence, Rhode Island with the state rep around small business and figuring out what the state is doing to increase small business in the state of Rhode Island. On May 23rd, we have ours in Massachusetts, and it's around healthcare.
Wow.
We're going to have the CEO of Beth Israel Deaconess Hospital in Milton. He'll be there. We'll have someone from the Chief Policy Strategy Officer for the Massachusetts Health Connector will be there, and someone from Tufts Healthcare will be there as well, talking about the strain that healthcare puts on the small to mid-sized business owner and what those three entities are doing to relieve that strain to the best of their ability. So that's really what we're doing. It's educational programming and content to help the small business owner progress their business forward.
So last question, Kareem. So I know there are businesses out there that are looking to join, and if they're interested, what's the process? If they're considering joining, do they go on the website? Do they reach, call you? How does it work?
Yeah, so the normal process is go to the website, hit the Join Now button, and then it'll give you a list of ways you can join.
Okay.
Now, the reason that there's different tiered level of membership, and I did that intentionally, if you're under three employees, you can join for free.
Okay.
That's our commitment to the true small micro business, right? That sole prop entrepreneur who says, I want to go do this. That person may not have the resources financially and honestly should not commit financial resources to a membership at that stage of the game. So we give them a free membership where they can join the association and get in touch with people and potential clients and members through that way. And then it tiers up from there. So we have a basic membership, which is free for companies under three employees. We have our plus membership, which is companies from 11 employees down. We have our premium membership, which is companies 50 employees and down. And then above 50 employees, you go into our VIP membership. So that's how we can be the association that helps all size companies, right?
And I think I'm big on the way I define it, integrity, Kareem, is walking the talk.
Yeah.
And I think it speaks volumes to your leadership and the organization, because taking care of the small businesses, three or less, that's pretty unique.
Yeah.
And so just that alone should tell our viewers that there is integrity in walking the talk here. And I think that's pretty awesome that you guys do that as part of your membership packages.
I appreciate that. And, you know, and there is a financial hit to us because we lost member dues on that. But you know, it's the right thing to do. How can you be committed to the small business space and not give every small business owner a chance to be a part of your association? And that was really the driver of that.
So, Kareem Hill, thank you so much for joining us today, President and CEO of the New England Business Association. Thank you, viewers, for joining us for another edition of the Mindset Entrepreneur video podcast, and we look forward to seeing you next week.